Blog Talk
what did,
Radio.
Do you remember what we did for last Easter? I can't remember if we did a show a day before or the day after.
I think we did the show a day after.
Okay. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that again, man.
It's up to you.
Yeah, well, Lisa was telling me I didn't want to do it. You know, I wanted to just do it on normal time. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, you got family. I got family. I don't know how the whole Easter
thing works. We still could do it on normal time because most people celebrate Easter during the day.
That's what I thought, too. But Lisa was like, yeah, you gotta go.
It's totally up to you because you have the family. I really don't.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib.
From Boston.
I love that. And we have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in today at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8:30 tonight. We got a ton of news today, man. It's crazy. Tonight we're going to talk about Mike Tyson turns down $25 million to face Evander Holyfield. And Gervonta Davis, Bede, your boy racks up 14 counts on a hit-and-run accident, man. 14 counts. How about this, Bede? How about he is not the train wreck of the week? That'll let you know what kind of week it's been.
Yeah.
Let you know, man, right from the jump. That'll let you know what kind of week it's been. He is not the train wreck. How about
well,
that?
He was indicted on those charges. The DA hasn't made them all formal yet. I'm curious to see, again, I'm not a lawyer here.
Yeah.
I'm just giving my opinion. I'm curious to see if when the case does go to trial, if all those 14 counts are going to stick. That's just all I'm saying.
I got a funny feeling that those 14 counts, I got a funny feeling that they're going to plea out of this. That's just
He's going to get probation. He's going to get probation like John Joe.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to see any time out of it, put it that way.
No.
No. He's got, I guarantee, whoever he hit or whatever like that, I have a feeling it's going to be pled out, so. There you go. All right, let's get started with the action this weekend on DAZN. Alexander Povetkin versus Dillian White. Dillian White, man, got his revenge. Won the fight via TKO in the fourth against Alexander Povetkin. I tell you what, man, White looked all right, man. He started fast. He was throwing big punches from the get-go. I was worried because he was throwing a lot of, like, haymaker shots, man. Those were shots from the floor. And, you know, he had missed some of them, he had hit some of them, but, you know, I'm like, man, you can't fight 12 rounds throwing those type of punches, man. It just doesn't work. Povetkin took a couple of them pretty well, man, but it was definitely getting touched up. But there was something about Povetkin, he just didn't look good from the start here. There was something.
His legs looked kind of funny.
He didn't look good, right? Yeah, I mean, even in that first round, he didn't look that good, man. A lot of people are pointing to COVID, but let's not forget, you know, he's 41.
Could have gotten old overnight too. I'm not
exactly.
I know a lot of people that got COVID. I got COVID. You know, you recover from it especially if you're an athlete and you're a physical guy that stays in shape. I just think it could be a case of him possibly getting old overnight.
He's 41. You
know, 41.
He's 41, man.
Chikal said to me, you know, we were both talking about this fight. We kind of thought it was a 50-50 fight, but Chikal just said, you know, I'm worried about his age. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, he could get old overnight. That's something to worry about. It's definitely a caveat going in if you're going to gamble on the fight. So,
absolutely, man. And when you're 41, he's had COVID, you're 41. And I got to be honest, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe everybody disagree with me. I tell you what, man, I did not think that Dillian White looked that great in his last, or not Dillian White. I didn't think Povetkin looked great in the last fight. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I thought he caught him. I thought and I don't think it was a lucky shot. I think he caught him. You know, he set him up or whatever. And he looked, you know, that was good. It was a great win for him. But overall, man, I don't think he looked that great in that fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to say this because Dillian White is – you made some good points, and I think you were accurate on your assessment of Dillian White. But I will say this. Dillian White is always going to be who he is, right? He's never going to be a Tyson Fury. Not going to even be an Anthony Joshua guy. He's compact with the shots, very fluid combination puncher, really tight technically, you know, facilitate his offense, Anthony Joshua. He puts the shots together very well, places them perfectly. But the thing with Dillian White is it's about progress, not perfection. One of his bad habits was always pushing that jab out, throwing it out there lazy because, you know, you could see he would get counter with right hands over the top lot, right hand would come over the top. Joshua sometimes throws the jab lazy, but Dillian White throws it really lazy.
Yeah.
He just pushes it and leaves it out there. Well, you know, yesterday it was a little snappier. He was bringing it back to his face quicker.
He had a good jab yesterday. He was touching him up. Yeah.
It was a monumental improvement from the first fight, the jab was.
Yeah.
Did he still load up? Yeah. But not as much. There were some times where he was really sharpening up the punches, throwing them straighter. You know, in the mid-range, he wasn't really pulling back and torquing them. He was really tightening up his punches a little bit. But there were times when he did load up because that's who he is. So there's still work to be done, but there was a little bit of fine-tuning, it looked to me, that was done. And it's ironic that you say that. I was saying the same thing. He's going to fade late in fights. And if you look at his record, you go back and look at the Revis fight, go back and look at the first Chisora fight, go back and look at the Parker fight. He usually fades the second half of the fight. Like you could look, and he lost like in all those fights. I believe he lost the 11th, 12th round.
Yeah,
you know, and he lost a lot. You know, some of the later rounds as well, along with the 11th, 12th round, and all those fights that I just mentioned. So it's his MO to fade late in fights. So I'm putting that in my mind, and I even put that in my breakdown. You know, when I talked about the fight on Friday. But then I'm seeing him throwing some of those haymakers. I'm like, damn, just like you said, guy's going to fade. He can't do this. He can't do this for 12 rounds.
No.
But again, he was loading up, but not as badly as he normally does. And, you know, like I said, progress over perfection. So he's still going to be who he is.
Right.
But hopefully he can tighten up a little bit. You know what I mean? Because he's going to have to if he's going to fight a Fury, a Joshua, or even a Wilder.
I thought that he looked a little bit more patient yesterday than he did in the first fight and than he has in a long time. He used that jab, and that jab, I looked like there was a mouse coming over Povetkin's left eye.
Yeah. I mean, he did a better job at setting up the shots yesterday.
Yes, for sure.
As opposed to, he's a little anxious, you know, and he would land a big shot in the first fight and kind of pose a little bit and kind of look at Povetkin like, what's he still doing there? And another good thing that he did yesterday, too, was he manhandled Povetkin a little bit, pushed him around, and Povetkin couldn't get it. Povetkin couldn't set his feet. Now, he was off balance a lot. He was a little shaky on his legs from the get-go. But it didn't help that White was manhandling him and bullying him and throwing him around. That made it even worse. That compounded the problem, you know, because he couldn't get his feet set. If you're an inside fighter, you have to have your feet under you so you can plant your feet and, you know, establish yourself and get that positioning that you would like to get on the inside. He could never get his feet under him at all because White kept throwing him around the way like a rag doll.
You know, and maybe, like I said, maybe COVID did have something to do with it. Maybe there was some after effects. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't say one way or the other. There's no way I could determine that.
What we can say is the guy's 41.
Yes.
And what we can say is that, you know, like I said, I didn't think he looked all that great last fight with White, you know, and he sure didn't look good here. And he sure didn't look good at that weigh-in either. That weigh-in, I mean, he looked sloppy at the weigh-in. You know, Dillian White looked pretty good. He looked like he didn't run, you know. I mean, he looked like he didn't, I don't know. He didn't look right, you know. And that could be because he was sick or whatever, and we can make all the excuses for him. But again, man, he's a 41-year-old guy in there against, you know, and you got, you know, you like I said, man, you get old overnight sometimes.
Yeah.
So, There you go. Let's talk about the undercard here for a little bit here. Well, what's next for White now? Before we go to the undercard, let's talk about what's next for White. I don't know whether he's the WBC interim champion, whatever that means. You know, what is he? There's nowhere for this guy to go next. The championships are locked up. Wilder's the only guy, and that fight seems almost impossible to make.
But his name was brought up on multiple occasions yesterday from both Eddie Hearn and Dillian White. And they even were talking about possibly throwing that fight in the stadium. So now they even said that, you know, now Deontay Wilder's calling out Dillian White, but when he was the champion, Dillian White said that. He texted me and said, I will never give you a shot at this title. So I don't know. I mean, where does Deontay Wilder go? He still doesn't have a fight signed. There's no rumors of any fight on the horizon for Deontay Wilder.
Nothing.
You know, there's a lot of the other PBC heavyweights. Brazil had a fight. Andrew Ruiz got a fight coming up. Kwanaki fought recently. So those other PBC heavyweights are getting fights. They're active. Deontay Wilder, we haven't heard a peep out of him.
Nothing.
And this is another thing that makes me think we never did get a final result from that arbitration. Never officially got a final result from that arbitration. I'm curious to see if that's still going on.
You know what I think? I think he's done.
You think he retires?
I think he retires. I think he's done. I don't think listen, man, at the end of the day, I don't care how many excuses you go online and make. You could talk about the 40-pound costume. You could talk about the the leprechaun that came in your room and jinxed you or whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, you know that you lost the fight. You know it.
I mean, if you're going to go to bed
yourself, you know it.
He's got to go to bed every night knowing that he lost the fight.
You have to.
He's got
to
be looking up at the ceiling. He's probably seeing, like, Tyson Fury, like, flying around up in the ceiling, like, motherfucker. And he's like, you know, he knows he lost that fight.
And I don't think he wants to fight again. I'll be honest.
I think he knows he lost the first fight.
You know? Like I said, I don't think he wants to fight again.
Me and you sounded like Dr. Joyce brothers over there.
I know, right?
Dr. Phil, right?
Dr. Phil. Yeah, so I mean, as far as where Dillian White, you know what I would like to see? I would like to see Andy Ruiz and Dillian White. I think that's a fun fight. I think it's a real fun fight. I like that a lot.
Here's another decent one. You may not like it, but what about Joe Joyce versus Dillian White?
Listen, man, I was the biggest Joe Joyce hater, and it takes a lot for me.
You better strap on those Joe Joyce pom-poms, baby. Strap on the Joe Joyce train.
Listen, man.
On the Joe Joyce train, Daddy.
I'm on it. Listen, I will never pick against Joe Joyce again. Never.
I already ordered you a Joe Joyce T-shirt. It's coming in the mail.
Nice. I love it. My man, Joe Joyce. All right. All right, a couple of heavyweights on the undercard here. Fabio Wardley, who was – what is he, 10-0? Was he 10-0 when he came in there?
Something like that, yeah.
Versus Eric Molina. Wardley wins via fifth-round KO over Eric Molina. Both guys had their moments here. It was a fun fight, man, but quite honestly, man, Eric Molina, I think he's seen better days. Wardley clipped him after being rocked in the fifth. Molina rocked him, went to the ropes, and then he ended up clipping him. Now, at the end of this fight, he claimed, I think him and his coaches were claiming something to the effect of he was hit on the back of the head or something like that. I thought he was hit on the back of the head until I rewound it and looked at it again. I was like, yeah, he wasn't hit on the back of the head. He got clipped.
That was a very short left hand that landed in that horrible spot, which is at the top of the head, always makes these fighters do the chicken dance. Really?
You know.
I've never been hit there.
Yeah.
I've always got hit the chin,
yeah.
Nose, cheeks. I've never really got hit in the top. I guess it's different with the headgear, man.
I've never been hit in the temple, and I've never been hit in the top of the head.
No.
I've been hit on the chin. I've been hit square on the chin. I've been hit square in the nose and
lots of bloody, yeah, lots of bloody noses, bloody lips, and swollen eyes, but never really got hit in that temple area.
No, never.
I couldn't tell you how it feels.
Yeah, I've never really been like, you know, rocked to the point where I can't take a step or I want to fall, you know, not like that. You know, you've been buzzed. I mean, obviously you've been buzzed. I mean, where you get hit and it looks like somebody took your pictures, it's that big flash, you know, and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's got to be a potent spot, man, because every time somebody gets hit there, it's almost like lights out. What did you think of Fabio Wardley? Did you, man, the guy's 10-0, he's fighting Eric Molina. He was just okay for me.
Yeah, nothing stood out. You know what I mean? Nothing stood out. A little bit robotic, I thought. A little clumsy. Not great with his footwork. Balance was a little bit off. Squared up a little bit, mm-hmm. but he's physically a strong guy. Heavy-handed. Appeared to be in good shape. You'd have to be in good shape to take those shots that he was taking flush. I mean,
yeah.
Molina's a pretty decent puncher. He's not a world beater, but
he can hit. Listen, man, he's over 200 pounds. He can hit, you know?
Yeah. I wasn't overly impressed, I have to be honest. I just wasn't. He struggled a little bit with Molina. Molina did have him in trouble in that fifth round. He really did. He admitted that, so... I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, you know, we were saying all these things about Joe Joyce and look what he did.
Yeah.
So
I was the biggest.
So my word doesn't mean much, you know, it's just an opinion. So,
yeah.
But based off what I saw last night, I have to be honest, I wasn't overly impressed.
Yeah. I was the biggest voice against Joe Joyce. And hey, I'll tell you what, I ate my words. That's for sure. MEZ Box said Wilder is not done. Stop it. Listen, I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion. It's just my opinion. I don't know that he fights again. I hope he's not. I hope he's not, because I think him and Dillian White was a great fight. I think that's a lot of fun, man.
If you're being objective, you have to wonder what's going on, though. You know, it's a guy who's not even being involved
in any talks.
It doesn't look good right now.
Oh.
If you're a Wilder fan. And if you don't want to acknowledge that, then it's, once again, YouTube is the largest home for cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, he hasn't been on social media talking about who he's going to fight next. He hasn't been on YouTube.
That's not like him, man. Something's got to be up.
So it could be him, you know, sometimes, you know, Dana White said it last night. He said a lot of people ask for the fight, but at the end of the day, do you really want the fight? You know, I mean, because the fights can be made, like you said, I mean, the fights can be made very easily. You know, that Terrence Crawford-Errol Spence fight could probably be made pretty easy if both guys want it. They say they want it, Ryan Garcia versus Gervonta Davis. I'm sure that fight could have been made very easily. Again, yeah, everybody, a lot of people say they want the fight, but do you really want the fight?
Listen, I mean, you got to look at behavioral patterns. And you just got to look at history. You just got to look at what, you know. It's not hard to figure a person out. All you got to do is just look at his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If a person continues to do the same thing, then you just got to come to the conclusion that, you know, this is who this person is. And there's a group of fighters, and we know who they are, and they're from a certain stable, and they have a track record, all of them. So you can choose to acknowledge it, or you can choose to ignore it. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice.
MEZ Box says Pac and Floyd was easy, right? Yeah. Yeah, it was. Believe it or not, yes, it was. They contacted each other. How long did it take for that fight? They saw each other at a basketball game. Those fighters sat down and talked, and within, like, what, an hour, they had a deal?
Yeah, in 3 weeks, the fight was done.
So, yeah, if they want to get it done, if both guys want to fight, they'll put it together.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, man. You know? I mean, really, that's just the way it is. It's, you know, everybody likes to point to politics, this and that, but the bottom line is if the fighters want to go, they'll go. They can make it happen. Every big fight in history has been made. You know? If they want to fight, they'll make it happen. You know, usually what happens is, well, I want $20 million to fight him. Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. You don't want to fight then. You know, I'd like $20 million to fight somebody too. But, you know, I mean, it just is what it is, man. Yeah. Ted Cheeseman, your boy Bede, the pound for pound greatest fighter on the planet, Ted Cheeseman, son. I said it. You believe that, don't you, Bede, that he's the best pound for pound fighter on the planet?
Maybe at a domestic level, not worldwide.
I think it's universal, son. I think we can go to different galaxies, and he beats anybody there, too. He's the man. Ted Cheeseman wins the 11th round KO over James Metcalf, and James Metcalf was unbeaten, son. Unbeaten. This was a very, very entertaining fight. If you guys didn't watch it, it's actually worth a watch. Knocked him out in the 11th round, cleaned him in that 11th round, man. I mean, he knocked him clean out, and then he left no doubt on the scorecards. But, hey, that's why he's the best fighter on the planet. You know, it's Cheeseman. What are you going to do? What is chameleon? What does that mean? I'm going to block.
Yeah, I got to block him.
Yeah, I got to block him, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah, he's trolling.
I don't know what that means.
He's trolling.
If you got something to say, come on and say it, man. I mean, listen, call up.
Yeah.
Call up, man. It's all
good. Bad to people like that. You got nothing better to do on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, call up, though.
Probably sitting alone somewhere in his basement, you know.
Wow.
All the old toys he used to play with when he was five, but still down there.
That's cold. Man, that's cold. That's cold. Now, why would you have to say something like that?
It is cold if he's in his basement. I mean, usually basements are cold. I understand. I mean, I just feel bad for the guy.
You don't think he paid his... You think he's squatting? You think he's squatting, or is he actually like? I mean, is he actually in like his parents' basement or like his sister's basement or something?
Someone's basement. He could have a basement floor apartment somewhere. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but I just feel bad.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah, I feel bad for him.
I could throw him a lifeline.
What, some Campbell's soup or something? I mean, what is, you know,
buy
him a meal. What are you going to do?
Every day. I'm a care package.
What?
Every day.
Put some peeps in there for Easter. Put some peeps in there for Easter. Now it is.
Maybe talk to him, make him feel better about himself. I don't know.
All right. Campbell Hatton versus Jesus Ruiz. Hatton won a unanimous four-round shutout decision over Jesus Ruiz. Now, in case you're wondering, Campbell Hatton, yes, that is the son, correct? The son of Ricky Hatton? Now, okay, so Jesus Ruiz was 0-11. You got that right? 0-11?
Yeah. Can't get mad over that, though. This first fight, that's not bad.
I get it. I get it, but... You know, I mean, he's 0-11. I mean, did you really climb Mount Everest here? I'm just saying. I get it. It's his first fight. I get it.
No.
Well, what weight is he fighting at? What weight is Hatton fighting at?
I think it was 147. I think it was 147.
I didn't see the fight, in all fairness. I didn't see the fight. You saw the fight, and then...
Yeah, he looked a little bit tight, a little nervous.
Which is understandable. I mean, he's got a lot of pressure on him, being Hatton's son.
The scary thing, though, is that chin is, like, way up in the air. His dad's chin was way up in the air, too, but this was worse, you know? But I got to say, he looks... Oh, my God. Like, if Ricky Hatton jumped in a time machine and went back 10 years... He would be this kid's twin. They look identical. They look exactly alike. They talk alike. Like when the kid walks and his mannerisms, his facially, he's just so much like his dad, man. It's like surreal. Really is.
Tony says that waiter gave Ricky's son a good fight.
Yeah. But you seem like a likable kid. I like Ricky Hatton. I wish him the best. I wish him the best. Obviously, you know, having that hat.
How old is he?
I want to say he's, what, 20, I think? Again, I don't know 100% certainty how old he is. Let me pull him up just for shits and giggles. I think he's 20, but I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just tripping on the fact that he fought somebody 0-11.
Well, I mean, I see worse.
Outlaw says Campbell Hatton is going on the Chavez Jr. diet for at least 30 fights.
He's 20. Yeah, I was right.
He's 20. But what's his amateur background? I mean, did he, you know?
Actually, that fight was 136. He was 136 pounds.
So he's a lightweight.
Yeah, so technically he's a lightweight. I thought he was a junior welterweight or something, but no.
I don't know. You see any skill there? Anything that makes you sit up and say, oh, yeah, let me check this guy out. I see a lot of the same thing in Conor Benn, but I think they did a good job bringing him along.
Conor Benn's better than him.
Well, I think so too, yeah. But
as much profit.
Yeah, I mean, Conor Benn is really, I mean, but I don't see Conor Benn like doing the same thing that Nigel did. You know what I mean? I think that I think that Conor Benn is, he's got a ceiling to him, put it that way.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I mean, if these guys can make some money and fight at the domestic level, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He's 20 years old. Again, we've been along before. I've written guys off, and I was way off. I've been wrong, you know, so.
I write guys off every week. I mean, I'm always wrong, you know. So yeah,
I'm not as bad as Robbie telling everyone they need to find something else to do.
That's
but
cold blood. Why you got to bring that in?
A lot of name dropping.
Wow, that's cold blooded, man.
Got that COVID vaccine, man. I got a lot of piss and vinegar in me right now.
That's what they injected you with?
Who knows? They could have gave me a little bit of the super soldier serum right now. I tell them.
The super soldier serum, yeah, like Captain America.
Never know.
Yeah. Tony says Conor Benn surprised me with his progress. Yeah, he's progressing.
Yeah, he's gotten better.
Yeah,
he's gotten better.
Yeah, he's doing
well.
We'll see. Georgie says he's on the line. Georgie, I can affirm you are not on the line. So if you want to call in, go ahead and call in 323-870-3857.
Is he on the line or is he doing a line? Which is it?
I think he's probably doing a line at Rikers.
He's doing a line, right?
Probably off some guy. All right, so let's go to NBC Sports Network. Amanda Serrano versus Daniela Bermudez. Full disclosure, I didn't watch the fight. Amanda Serrano wins via ninth round KO over Daniela Bermudez. A lot of people were singing her praises afterwards. Listen, man, I didn't watch the fight. Listen, I've said in the past that maybe it's promotion. The promotion's lacking, and I do think that's the case to get people interested, I'll be honest. But quite honestly, look, man, I'm just not that interested. And if that makes me a sexist, then I'm a sexist. But honestly, I wouldn't be interested in watching midget boxing either. I mean, it just is what it is. I'm not into it, man. I don't get it. I don't know.
I can't convince you to change your mind. I'm just going to leave it alone. But I will say this. Serrano landed two of the most beautiful body shots that I've ever seen. I mean, She landed the left one, and you could see that poor girl's body shudder. And then the right one, it was even way, way more immensely shuddering on that side. You could tell those body shots were vicious body shots. Those are two of the most perfectly, beautifully placed body shots I've seen. She looked good. She looked good.
Emmanuel Moreno, thank you so much. He just became a new member, and thank you so much for the donation. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for your support. Gosh, we appreciate it.
I haven't seen him for a while, man. Nice to have him back.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Welcome back. Yeah, she looked good. She looked good. Her opponent was overmatched, but she looked good.
Tony says Eric managed to defend women boxers and midgets in one sentence. Not cool. Sorry, man. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just say things come
that was,
out.
That was real bad, man. You insulted two groups of people there.
How did I insult two groups of people? All I said was I wouldn't want to watch midget boxing. That's all.
I bet you if there was a puppy on the floor right now, as you were saying that statement, you probably would have kicked it.
Well, it depends on where it was. I mean, is it by my feet? I mean, is it making noise? I don't
that
would have
been a triple threat right there. That would have been the icing. That would have been the icing on the cake right there.
Outlaw says what's holding Serrano back is she's a little small promoter. Yeah, that, and she doesn't want to do any promotion either. I don't see her anywhere. I don't see her getting interviewed. I mean, we've asked for Serrano twice.
40 fights.
Yeah, listen, we've asked for Serrano twice on this channel. And, you know, like I said, when they don't come on, I get disinterested. I really do. I mean, why would I want to, you know, spend my time watching them? Yeah, I don't know. I
don't know the details behind the situation of her not fighting Katie Taylor, but looking at what's come, you know, looking at what else is out there for her, I just don't understand, like, why she wouldn't fight Katie Taylor. That's an outstanding fight to make. An outstanding fight.
Wants to get paid. I can't speak for her. I don't know. My guess is they want to get paid an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, I don't know the details.
They
that.
Think it's a headline fight, and quite honestly, it's not. It's just not. It's not a headline fight. It's not anything anybody's going to be interested in unless it's on a card with other really, really top fights.
Has Katie Taylor ever headlined?
No. I don't know that she has.
Can anyone over in the chat or a UK fan, has Katie Taylor ever headlined a card? Sure, I could find that on BoxRec, but take me a little time. But I don't want to do that if someone can answer that question for me, because I'm not sure. Because you never really hear Katie Taylor complain about how much money she's making. You never complain about her.
She just wants to fight.
She just wants to fight.
She just wants to fight.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Moreno says, I've always been here. It was just keeping quiet. He said, I'm not a fan of women's boxing, but I do like Katie and Estrada. I do like Katie Taylor. I like watching Katie Taylor fight as well. Sneezy Foster said Katie Taylor did headline. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wasn't sure. A lot of times when I watch her on the zone, she headlined. Was that Pursuit fight? She was the headliner there, I think. That's correct. She did headline. My mistake. Thank you, Sneezy Foster. Thank you so much.
Mr. Pigeon says, Joe Joyce is also my favorite heavyweight. His jab is lethal. Mine too. Especially after his last fight, you know. If they were to put this, you know what they're going to have to start doing? The promoters, if they're really serious about it, what they're going to have to start doing is biting the bullet, putting them on a card with the men, but putting them ahead of the men. Putting like a man's title fight up there and then putting their title fight up there.
Yeah. Joe Ramos asks in the chat, anyone else find Amanda attractive? I think she's a pretty girl.
Amanda
yeah.
Who, Serrano?
Yeah.
Man, not really. I'm not, but that's just me. I'm not.
Whoa! That's, you can't take it there now. Come on. You can't insult the looks now. She just asked me if I found her attractive. I said no. I'm not really attracted to
her.
I didn't ask you if you found her attractive.
He said, anyone else find Amanda attractive? I don't find her attractive.
You could have taken the no comment route on that one. You didn't have to answer it.
Oh. God, you sound like my wife.
Do you have any old sayings that have nothing nice enough to say it at all?
What's not nice about that? He has a question. I'm just saying.
I don't know, man.
I don't find her. Yeah, Sneezy Foster says she isn't that attractive. She isn't all that attractive up close, you know.
When has he ever been up close with her? You gonna meet her?
He said,
hang out with her?
He says she's like one of those 1 o'clock girls, you know, after you've been drinking all night and then 1 o'clock close up. You know what I mean? She looks all right, man.
What are you, her dentist? You go face to face with her? I mean, who are you? I mean, how are you going to
stop?
How are you going to look at her up close?
Said Manuel Moreno says Heather Hardy is a honey dip. I would agree with that. Heather Hardy is she's a honey dip.
She's the beebsterm, the honey dip.
She's the beebsterm. I love it.
I love how I can rub off on you guys. Heather Hardy is a honey dip, man. She's kind of
the blonde bomber. Yeah, okay. So the blonde bomber that I don't know what her name is, but that blonde chick from Australia. Yeah, yeah, she's all right. She's all right.
She catches so much slack on social media because everyone thinks she's just like a Barbie doll and stuff. But
yeah,
I'm okay
with that. Yeah,
she's all right. She can fight a bit, fight a little bit.
Yeah, I like where she's in her bathing suit and boxing gloves. I mean, she looks great. She really does.
Please, Barry. please.
What I do?
Please.
What I do now?
He's gonna take it there, man.
I did. Manny Gatillo says Eric drank too much Haterade last night. The only flavor I drink, baby. That's it. Real quick, the UFC, Stipe Miocic, Ohio's own, lost last night to Francis Ngannou via second-round KO. Wow. I mean, Ngannou looked really good in there. He was patient, stopped takedowns. He looked like a different fighter. And he hit Stipe in the second round, and Stipe just buckled. I mean, his legs went one way. He went backwards. It was awful, man. But, hey.
You think Jones can beat him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jones, until I see Jones get beat, I don't believe anybody can beat Jones, man. I really don't.
I'm a little concerned about Jones for this fight, though. I don't know.
Nah, he'll wrestle him. He'll grab my Jones is so strong, man.
Gano's got good hands, though.
Yeah, he really does.
But Joe, you know the thing about Jones, though? He's so good with those leg kicks, too.
Yeah. He's dangerous everywhere. He's dangerous everywhere.
Yeah, you know what? We have to just ride with him until he shows us otherwise.
Until he loses. And I thought he lost fights before. I thought he lost decisions and stuff like that before. But until he loses, he's the best fighter on the planet.
They were close fights.
Yeah.
Even if you thought he lost,
I get
what you're saying.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, he's the best fighter. Period. I don't think anybody on the planet can beat that guy. I don't care where you put him. I don't think anybody on the planet can beat that guy.
And if you took all the athletes out of any combat sports,
nobody beats him.
If you were to make a real live blood sport competition,
yeah.
He would win.
You think Tong Po beats him?
No.
You don't think so? I don't think so either. I think he takes him down because. Tong Po only with Muay Thai and stuff like that. I mean, he's not going to.
He wouldn't even beat Chan-Klon Van Damme.
I don't know. He was kicking that brick wall, though. You saw that. He was chipping that cement block out.
Yeah, the walls don't hit back. Yeah,
that's true. Jean-Claude.
Walls don't hit back.
And Jean-Claude lost to Chuck Zito. So what are you going to do, man?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Jones is the GOAT. What are you going to do?
I don't think he can lose. I don't think Tong Po can beat him.
Well, no, I think it'd be close. But not now, because Tong Po's a little bit older.
You think Ivan Drago can beat him?
Can beat who? Jones?
Yeah.
No, because once they get in the clinch, and he'll clinch him quick, and Drago was a little bit slower. Yeah, he'll clinch him up, and he'll take him down, and that'll be game.
What about Paul Belang? How long does he last against John Jones?
I don't think he lasts long either. I think once John Jones takes these guys down, it's going to be over with.
What about Dragon Ball Z?
That's a tougher one.
That's a tough one, right?
That's a pick'em.
Jones versus Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah. I like that one, though. That's a good fight. That's a solid fight.
To pick him.
That's a solid fight, man. All right, let's go to the boxing schedule here. April 3rd in Dubai. We'll get to that in a minute. But March 31st in South Wales, Australia, Tim Zhu versus Dennis Hogan, 12 rounds, junior middleweights. I want to say that this is going to be on ESPN. But there's no TV labeled for it. Yeah, it'll be on ESPN Plus. But there's no TV labeled for it. So we might be watching this on YouTube. So I don't know. But when is the 31st? What is that? Wednesday or Tuesday?
Find out right now, my friend. The 31st is a Wednesday, sir.
You are
correct, sir.
Because what is the opening day is on the 1st, right? It's on Thursday. Opening day is on Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. All right. And then April 3rd, which is Saturday on ESPN Plus, Jamel Herring versus Carl Frampton, 12 rounds for Herring's WBO junior lightweight title. And that's about the only interesting fight on that card. Donnie Nietes is on the card fighting the dreaded TBA. Tyrone McKenna is fighting Zankosh Turovov, 10 rounds junior welterweights. So not a great card. But the main event, and that's it for this weekend, but the main event is good. I like the main event. What do you see? Who do you think wins that fight?
Well, Frampton said if he loses, he's going to retire.
Ooh, that's not good.
That's not good.
That ain't good, man. That's not good.
You know, the thing with Frampton is, he could fight on the front foot and the back foot, but he always does kind of start the fights pretty slow. Herring is a guy who's aggressive. He likes to move forward. I think Herring's a very good inside fighter. He's bigger. He can be more physical when he has to be and when he wants to be. I actually think, you know, if this fight was 5 years ago, we'd pick Frampton all day, right?
It wouldn't
even be a thought. But Frampton's is already talking about retirement. He's gotten older. He's still a decent fighter, but he hasn't looked great. You know, he's struggled in recent fights. I'm not going to say he's an old guy, but in boxing years, he's pretty old. He's been around a while. In some tough fights. I think Herring's going to have his way and outwork him on the inside. Because, again, Frampton can sometimes get a little economical. He can start slow. He can lay back a little too much. And if Herring is the guy making the fight, he's going to win the rounds. He's doing more work. Even though he's not hurting him significantly, he's not rocking him back, he's not putting him in danger, but he's going to win rounds based off of activity. Because he throws a lot of punches. He works. He's an aggressive guy. You know, he may not be the fastest guy in the world. He may not hit the hardest in the world. He may not be the most athletic guy in the world, but he's a pretty solid fighter, you know, and he's aggressive. He's a grinder. So I could see him grinding out a decision in this fight. This is the right fight for him at the right, you know, at the right time, my opinion.
Yeah, I could see it going either way. I'm going to pick Frampton, though. I think Frampton gets him. I've never been impressed with Jamel Herring. I just haven't. There's nothing that Jamel Herring brings to the table that makes me sit up and say, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable.
He's like a meat and potatoes type of guy.
No. You know what he reminds me of? A lot of Tim Bradley. He reminds me of a lot of Tim Bradley.
And I like Tim Bradley a lot.
See,
I'm a huge Tim Bradley. I like Tim Bradley a lot. He's another guy, another
grinder.
Another guy is a grinder, puts the hat at the heart. But he's a very underrated boxer, too, but more of a grinder, more grinder than boxer, but can still box. You know, he's a grinder.
I'll be curious, like I said, I'll be curious to see how this fight plays out. I think that Frampton gets him, but, you know, hey, I've been wrong before.
I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I'm gonna go with Herring here.
Yeah, yeah. All right, news and rumors. Let's get to the train wreck of the week. Beeb, Oscar De La Hoya, our train wreck of the week. Out of all the stories that we had this week, and we've got a lot of them, he has managed. And how about Gervonta Davis getting 14 citations? He's not the train wreck of the week. Oscar De La Hoya announced that he's coming back on July 3rd to fight somebody, didn't announce his opponent, but we'll be fighting on Triller, not the Zone, which to me is interesting in itself. The word is that Triller wanted him to fight somebody from the UFC. Dana White shut that down at his post-fight conference last night. Not sure if you saw the announcement for this whole thing, but it's pretty lame. De La Hoya comes out on stage. They were doing the press conference for the Askren and Paul fight.
Yeah. I saw it. It was the lamest thing.
It was the lamest thing. And the best part about the whole thing
corny.
Is De La Hoya goes up there and says something and then does this little mic drop thing or whatever. Nobody heard what he said. Nobody heard what he said because there was technical difficulties with the mic.
Goofiest thing ever.
It was so lame. It was cringeworthy lame.
It was so goofy.
Because who are you fighting? I'm just coming back. I don't have an opponent lined up. I don't know anybody lined up. Dude, he's 48, right? He's right around 48?
48, 100% correct. He's 48 years old.
And you're going to come back, right? You're going to come back and fight exactly who? He said in the past that he wanted to fight like a name guy and like an opponent, a current guy. Son, there ain't
happening.
No way.
Not
you're fighting
happening.
A current guy. You're not fighting a journeyman. You're not fighting anybody who's been in the gym anytime soon.
We'll never get sanctioned.
No.
Now, is this a real fight or is it an exhibition?
Who knows? We don't know. He said it was a real fight. I guess they're talking about it's a real fight. But, yeah, nobody really knows. You know, I was listening to the press conference last night out of the UFC, and that's when the guy brought it up. He said that Triller wanted him to fight maybe possibly one of the UFC guys, and Dana White says absolutely not. He says,
but
no,
a current active UFC fighter?
I would think so, yeah. Like Ben Askren, I think Ben Askren is retired or whatever, and he's fighting Jake Paul or whatever that's going to go down. Yeah, you know, what I find interesting, though, is this is going to be on Triller. So what about, I mean, dude, all your people are fighting on DAZN. Like, all the Golden Boy fighters are fighting on DAZN, right?
Well,
and now you're making a move over to Triller.
Where is the Ben Askren Jake Paul fight? Where who's broadcasting that?
Triller. Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe that's going to be in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So maybe Triller's putting up more money than DAZN is.
Triller pays better. Yeah. Yeah. I believe they will, and I believe they do. But how long can they keep up that? You know, that model. You know. But the other thing is too, like, okay, so DAZN. I mean, but DAZN is your. This is. It's just ironic that, you know, here's a guy who all his fighters fight on DAZN, but he's going to go to Triller because he can get more money. Doesn't matter that his fighters aren't going to get more money. Doesn't matter that, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Why not try to work a deal where you can bring some of your fighters or even put some of your fighters on the card with you if they can make more money with Triller? Why not even try to work that into the deal or the arrangement?
Right. I agree. All right, let's bring on Georgie. He says he's got to go here soon. Must be a roll call at Rikers. Georgie.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
You're live.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? Man, you're dragging this shit. What the fuck you going to have the fucking call of the year on hold? The Ringside Reporter champion on hold? Stop what outrageous behavior is that?
It's not very good.
What's going on, baby? Talk to me, baby.
How you doing? How you doing, man? How's it going? I got my first vaccine shot out last Wednesday. I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay, that means you're going to need to stay in 6 months. That's great.
You proud of me?
Listen, I'm going to have to take you out to Coney Island all these days. Nah, not really, baby. I told you, I don't take vaccines, so flu shots, none of that, but it's your life. Hey, whatever.
Which is ironic, because Georgie's the first one that pointed out this whole thing to us.
Listen, Eric, nobody's talking about you right now. Please, sit down for a second or the grown-ups are talking. This is Title Town, and nobody here taking no motherfucking hell in Boston. You guys be down there.
I didn't know you were in Cincinnati.
Down.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
You guys in the production truck, turn on the subtitles, please. Go ahead, Georgie.
Aaron Daly, thank you so much, man.
On some serious shit, yo, let me burn. On some serious shit, we got to get together one of these days, baby. I cannot believe that we talked for this long and we never met.
All right, well, while we start down memory lane, why don't you get to your point?
I'm going to, you know what, Georgie? I'll take you out to lunch one day, man. Go to a nice Indian joint. I'm starting really to get into Indian food lately. I've been going out to a lot of Indian places. So I'll take you out to lunch for Indian lunch. You like Indian food?
Well, I want to take you out. I want to take you out to fucking Coney Island here in Worcester.
All right, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
You know.
Great. Now that we got Match.com out of the way,
location.
Can we get to the point, please?
Well, the point is that I took you all a long time ago. You never challenged for a title. I always got to take it out from fucking Beebs because you never show up. When you going to let me be reigning and defending for the whole year? When you going to put your balls in the line and challenge for the title? I mean, it is your show, right?
Paper champion. He's a paper champion.
I'm the champ.
Of what?
Those belts. They're nailed to that wall. They're not going anywhere.
They're not going nowhere, son. I didn't even take a belt
listen,
to fight because I know I ain't going to
yo, lose. Listen, stop it. Put some respect on George's name. We must be humble. But I earned my shot. I took it from Beebs. I took people. Oh, I mean, I don't even supposed to be here. All I'm asking you to bring some fucking honor to the show and challenge me for the title. How hard is that? Give your friend one.
He won't do it.
All these good fights
challenge
coming
you for
out.
The title? Yeah, what fight? What fight you want? What fight you want?
That's what you're supposed to challenge, right? That's how it goes, right? You challenge the champion. You take it from
him. Am I the challenger or am I the champion?
Do the fucking challenger. You beat, listen, all right,
what
you
fight
see, you suffer from amnesia. You suffer from amnesia
Georgie,
all the time.
Georgie, take Jamal Herring over.
All right, you want to do that one?
Do the Frampton Herring fight.
You want to do the Frampton Herring?
Frampton's going to
no,
Herring's going to win.
That's PBC. That's PBC. I can deal with that mafia right
now.
No, it's
not.
So
that.
That.
No, it's not. It's top
is
rank.
That?
That's ESPN.
Yeah.
That's top rank. That's a top rank fight. That's ESPN.
Wait, what do you can't do those cards? I can't do it if it's PBC.
Well,
I don't like
he's right. I always judging on the PBC.
Judging in the PBC.
Listen, but
this is
the problem right here. Listen. I don't have a lot of time. Other people got to burn. I'm just going to make it real simple because sometimes you guys say that I'm a fair weather fan and I'm not consistent. I'm consistent with this goddamn mafia. This is all I talk year after year, call after call after call. And some of these people, they sit out on shit. You guys want to talk about the fucking referees, judges, and this and that. And it goes all the way to the mafia. So when I'm picking a fight to defend the fucking title, to bring some motherfucking, make the motherfucker legit, yo, let me see what is on the fucking, in the hidden side that we cannot see. That's what I'm saying. It's not that I don't fuck with this car or I don't fuck with this brand or whatnot. This is fair, baby. We love the most corrupt
X-Files
in the world. That's all I'm saying.
What is this? Fucking X-Files?
Jeez. Baby,
what
this is
about?
No,
I don't know.
All right, listen.
I'm trying to get a fight.
You see, I'm
going to
make it real simple. I got the fight. I pick and spin against Ugas. Ugas going to get robbed. You down for that? Spence is a favorite, right?
You're picking Ugas against Spence?
No, he wants Spence against Ugas.
Well, so do I. Of course, Spence is going to beat Ugas.
Right, so you're going to pick against Canelo. Would you pick against Canelo?
I would not pick against Canelo.
There we go, because we already know the odds. So don't be forced to
put your balls on the table.
You got to put them on the table, son. You got to put them on the table. You're supposed to be the champ.
You're
supposed to be the champ, son.
Listen, I got to go.
You
want to
pick the favorites all the time. You want to pick the favorites all the time.
This is going to be for the Rikers Island Diamond Belt.
Stop it. Got to go. Oh. See you guys later next week. I'm out.
Guard
Eric,
came.
Why is he,
the
Eric,
guard
why
came
he,
and got him.
Eric, why is he in such a rush, man? Have they got, like, timers on those ankle bracelets now?
The guard came and got him his roll call. It's lights out in a few minutes.
Fucking time's up.
He had to go. The Arians wanted to use the phone.
Oh, God, that's fucking crazy.
He had to go. They're sounding the bell for the yard. Yeah, he was like, you know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what you're saying, son. I have no clue what you're saying.
You get the subtitles, man.
So, yeah, back to De La Hoya and stuff. Do you think that he's going to pull his fighters and go to Triller? I don't know that Triller is really that interested, I'll be honest.
We still got to find out what Triller's long-term plan is for boxing, if at all there is one. We don't know.
I don't know. It seems like they're more interested in, like, I don't want to say sideshow. It's kind of harsh, but for lack of a better term, sideshow. You know?
Well, actually, celebrity fight.
Celebrity fight. There you go. That's a better term.
YouTube influencer celebrities slash celebrity fight.
Yes, I think that's more up their alley. It's not going to be like, Ryan Garcia or anybody, you know.
I guess Snoop Dogg is part owner of Triller, too, I heard.
Is he?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. They need to get him off of the air, though, but I don't know. I don't really dig him when he's on there.
Yeah, I don't think he's – I mean, he's okay. Everyone thinks he's, like, real funny. I don't think he's that funny.
I don't think he's that funny either. I think he's just like what do they say, something like somebody's drunk uncle at the barbecue or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Emmanuel Moreno says, Billy Joe Saunders has a real shot against Canelo. Don't sleep on him. I 100% agree. I've been saying it all along. This is a real guy here.
Yeah, it could be a good fight. I don't know. I think Canelo's going to win, but I don't know.
I think Canelo's going to win too, man. But I tell you what, I mean, I would not sleep on Saunders. Saunders is a very difficult puzzle to solve, put it that way. There you go. All right. Mike Tyson turns down $25 million. Guaranteed money, Beeb. $25 million guaranteed. Would you turn down $25 million for anything?
Probably not.
Real money. Real money.
I can't see myself doing that. No.
Wow, so they want to put you in some kind of porno with some big dude, and you're okay with it for $25 million. That's suspect. All right, that's suspect. But let's talk about Mike Tyson right now. A day after Tyson proclaimed that the fight was on, in an interview on social media, Tyson's representative clarified to TMZ that the boxer misspoke, wasn't aware of how far away the two sides are at the negotiating table. Barring something drastic, the fight is reportedly not happening. Earlier this week, Holyfield's people came out and said that they offered $25 million for the fight. Tyson turned it down. However, Triller is – the other thing is Tyson says he's not going to fight for Triller. Triller is claiming, though, that basically, hey, we got Tyson's next fight too. So I don't know what I'm just saying. Listen, man, I don't care where it is, what it is. If you're offering me $25 million guaranteed to fight somebody else, man, that fight's going to happen. I don't care if I like you or not, man. The bottom line speaks the loudest. I don't know. It's just it's crazy to me.
But it's just like anything else when we hear these stories and these rumors. We don't know if all this stuff is 100% true or not.
Well, Holyfield's people came out and said it was a $25 million guarantee.
Yeah, we're not hearing really much from Tyson's side. There's no one coming out and saying that they're Tyson's side's not refuting the Holyfield side story. So,
not at all.
So then that could have some legs to it then. But I made a video about this and I talked about this and I'm saying to myself, you know, is it Tyson who doesn't really want this fight? Because if his people are coming out and saying that they're far apart in the negotiations, obviously they have to be talking to Tyson. So there's something going on that Tyson's not happy with.
Yeah.
So what I did say was, you know, he had two rough fights with Evander Holyfield and he was headbutt a lot in those fights. He may have some PTSD from those fights. Is he saying to himself, you know, if I get in the ring with this guy again, he's going to start headbutt me again, and I'm going to end up snapping, and I'm going to turn back into my old self that I don't want. Like, you think all this stuff is going on in the back of his mind, or you don't even think he's thinking about that?
No, and, you know, listen, man, I mean, $25 million is a lot of money to, like, everybody on the planet, but Tyson doesn't even – he's invested in this, like, big weed farm type of thing. And
yeah.
From what I understand, he's going to make a chunk of money on that. Probably more than he made, you know, he made a lot of money in his career. But let's put it this way. He's going to make a lot of money. Yeah, he's going to make a lot of money and not take a shot for doing it. You know what I mean?
He's learned how to become a phenomenal businessman, and also he's learned how to really maximize promoting himself.
Yeah, he really has. I mean,
he's really learned how to do that.
Well, look, man, you know, and for the Ryan Garcias out there, the Javonta Davis, Lopez, everybody, you know, our first two stories are about De La Hoya and Mike Tyson, people that fought years and years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to put together a fight between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, you know, or Mike Tyson and James Toney or whatever the case may be. Like, It blows my mind that they're putting those fights together, but yet the guys today, we're having trouble getting those guys in the ring to fight anybody.
Well, not only that, the fight that sold the most pay-per-view buys this year was Mike Tyson, Roy Jones.
Oh, yeah, by far. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Not even close by a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Not even close. It's unbelievable.
Sold over 1.5 million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah. Insane. All right, let's talk about John Fury. Now, Beeb, you brought this to my attention today. They did an interview with John Fury and
BT Sport
did an interview. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So shout out to Jason, a.k.a. Heyman's Planet, on Twitter, because he actually sent me the video this morning on Twitter. He DM'd it to me. And, you know, John Fury is being interviewed on BT Sport, one of their talk shows. He was on camera, so it was on video. And they asked him, the fight, your son signed to fight Joshua. That's great news, whatever. And he goes, well, what did he actually sign? There's no fight. There's no date. There's no venue. Nobody's put the money up yet. So what did he actually sign? So obviously, that's John Fury, Tyson Fury's father. They're probably talking. We've already heard Fury make very similar statements. So from Fury's side, and even Frank Warren himself said the same thing, we're far apart. We're still not done yet. We still got a long way to go, is the actual quote. Right? And he was also upset with the fact that the fight, Eddie Hearn announced that they signed that agreement, okay? And they weren't supposed to do that until they actually had the venue and the date set. So they were upset that Hearn jumped the gun. So is that contract that they signed worth the paper it was printed on? According to the Furies, it's not. And John Fury also went on to say that Tyson is going to fight twice this year with or without Joshua. So there's already a contingency plan in place, which is not out of the realm, not out of the realm of normalcy. But the thing about this whole thing is, when Mark Kriegel broke this story on the 15th, he said that they actually signed the contract on March 13th. And from March 13th, they have 30 days to have someone put the money up, to have a date set, and have a venue set. The clock is ticking and has been ticking for 2 weeks now, okay? There's only 2 weeks left. There's only 2 weeks left. They have 14 days to put this together or the contract is null and void. So in my estimation, number one, how are you going to rush, get this all squared away and rush this through and push this through in 14 days? And then if you're going to have the fight in June or July, you need time to promote this thing. You need time to get everything squared away, the press conferences. It's not easy. You don't just snap your fingers and all these things fall into place. So is it really realistic for us to think or even believe that we're going to get two fights this year or even one fight this year? I don't think this fight happens in the summertime. I just don't think it's going to happen in the summertime because we still don't know the situation with COVID. In my, to my knowledge, Europe doesn't even have the vaccine yet, and they're still having, struggling with the cases over there. If this fight's going to be in the Middle East or whatever, a lot of UK fans are going to want to travel over there. How are they going to be able to travel over there? They're not going to be vaccinated. Is the travel ban going to be lifted? How's this whole thing going to work out? There's too many things left to the unknown here. There's too many contingencies in this agreement. That's like me saying, I use this analogy, I'm going to repeat myself again. I'm going to hire you, but I don't know when you're going to start, what you're going to be doing, and where you're going to be working. No one's going to feel comfortable about that,
Well, so, like I told you a couple of weeks ago when this whole thing happened, with Frank Warren came out, and everybody is furious with Eddie Hearn for releasing this information saying the fight's going to happen. Now, I don't know if Eddie Hearn's putting pressure on or whatever, but listen, they have to find a venue. They have to find, which I'll be honest, seems fairly easy. Again, this all seems fairly easy to do. But, in order to pay the guys what you need to pay them, you probably have to have a gate behind it. That goes to Saudi Arabia. Now, a lot of people from Saudi Arabia, we've all heard these stories where, they want to have fights take place on boats or this or that or this or that. I think there's a lot of different stuff over there. It's a little bit different on the way they do business than what's here,
Well, I stand corrected because I was hearing – Once again, this is the horrible media that we have here in the United States, because with the information that we're getting on from our media is that you guys are struggling. And I'm happy to hear that you're not. If you guys are living in the UK, you know better than me. I'm happy to hear that you're not struggling. Aaron Daly just said 55.
I just saw that. Yeah, I thought they had it in England, but I wasn't sure because I just don't live there, you know. I mean,
yeah, so once again, I apologize, and I'm glad that I'm wrong on that one, because I want you guys to get vaccinated or whatever. But once again, we have not only have the worst boxing fans in the world in the United States. I think we have the worst media in the world too.
Oh, stop it!
Think about this.
The Bronze Plumber says that UK has a better vaccine rollout than the US. That does not surprise me.
I stand corrected.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna say something else, because here's another point. You tell me if I'm making sense here as well. Now, Eddie Hearn even went on to say that there's a possibility now that this fight could still be in the UK. Now, in my opinion, this fight deserves to be in the UK. But obviously, you have two UK fighters, two British fighters, right?
Yeah.
And to me, I'm just going to say this, and this may ruffle a lot of feathers. By far, the UK fans are the best sports fans in the world. Think about this. You know, they have a country that population-wise is a fifth the size of – I made a video about this. It's a fifth the size of our country, right? Mm-hmm. And they're still selling over a million pay-per-view buys over there, 1.5 million pay-per-view buys over there. Dillian White, I think, does 800,000 pay-per-view buys. And this is in a country that's a fifth the size of us.
Yeah.
And what did we have a fight that did 800,000 pay-per-view buys? When their fighters lose, they still support him. Ricky Hatton lost to Floyd Pacquiao.
Support him, yeah.
They, you know, Frank Bruno, Henry Cooper, all these guys. They never jump ship on their fighters. Joshua lost. They still rally their fighters. They don't stream fights. They actually buy the pay per views, and the pay per view numbers over there will support that, right? They travel anywhere in the world to go watch their fighters fight, no matter where it is. Right, they went to Gibraltar yesterday to watch for that card to go watch Dillian White fight.
Yeah,
and the national anthem was played for Great Britain. They were singing. They could have turned the recording off, and they could have just sang it, and it would have sounded like wouldn't even have need to have it played, because right, they were singing it in cadence, loud and clear. That's how passionate these fans are. So they deserve this fight in the UK. And I hope they get it in the UK, because it's a slap in the face to the UK fans for this fight to not be in the UK, because these fans are such great boxing fans, such great sports fans. And I have to say, I think we're the worst boxing sports fans in the world. I think we're horrible. All we do is shit on the fighters. All we do is stream fights. And then we complain about how much pay-per-view fights are. And not you, because you and I pretty much buy all the pay-per-view fights. You complain you're not a big fan of pay-per-view.
Right.
But you still, I would
I
venture
still
to say.
Still watching them, yeah.
Yeah, I would venture to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would say you buy probably at least 90% of them.
I would think
maybe
so,
more.
Yeah. Something like that.
You know?
Yeah.
So all these fans here that say the pay-per-view prices are too high, this fight shouldn't be on pay-per-view, whether or not the fight's a good fight or not, whether or not it's pay-per-view worthy or not, you guys are still going to stream the fucking fight anyways, because you're scumbags. you don't support boxing. You don't support the fighters. We have the worst boxing fans in the world. We don't deserve this fight to be staged here. We don't.
Yeah, I don't think the fight takes – you know, I tell you what, it's two weeks away. In 2 weeks, we'll find out more. But the clock is ticking, man. The clock is ticking. We'll figure it out. Let's move on here. Gervonta Davis is racking up the tickets. Gervonta Davis has been hit with 14, Beeb. 14, 1-4 counts of hit and run. He could face up to 7 years of jail time. It was a hit and run. I guess he had his Lamborghini and he hit and run or something like that. Listen, he ain't seeing any jail time out of this. This is going to be a plea. He's going to plea it out. He may have a ding on his record or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. The right people here are going to get paid and get their cars fixed and get paid a handsome amount, I would imagine. Listen, he ain't seeing no jail time out of this. Not a good look, but he ain't seeing no jail time out of this. No question.
I agree with
100% what you just said, yeah.
If you or I were in that Lamborghini, we would see jail time out of this.
But let me ask you,
Javonte Davis ain't seeing jail time.
This accident happened back in November, right?
Something like that, yeah.
You remember when Errol Spence had his accident, right? They had the video. The video was being shown everywhere. All this footage. So now this accident happened in November, right? And now in March, we're first hearing about all the video footage, and now we're hearing all the details of this story. So I find it a little bit weird, and maybe it's me. Maybe it's me, and tell me if I'm wrong, and tell me if I'm minimizing this.
Yeah.
Or I'm not looking at this as serious. It should be. But why did they wait so long? And then March comes along, and they're like, oh, like, all this, you know, they're really blowing this story up, and oh, people could have died. And again, I'm not making light of that by no means. But if there was video footage of this accident, why did it take so long for it to come out?
Couple reasons.
Tell me.
You know, in Texas, you know, Errol Spence looked like he was about to die. You know, I mean, this was big news. I mean, they had to pry him out of that car, or I think he was ejected out of the car. And he's in Texas. He's driving this Lamborghini. This is big news in Texas. This is really big news. In Baltimore, this kind of stuff happens on a daily basis. It happens on a daily basis. And it happens on a daily basis, quite honestly, everywhere. But it was a hit and run. It's not like he got out of the car and said, hey, I'm Javonte Davis, you know, world famous boxer, and got back in his car and left. Nobody knew who it was. They didn't have a clue, you know. And they just keep this stuff under wraps. That's why you got PR people. People keep it under wraps. It's not going to stay under wraps forever. That's why we hear about it later on, you know. So they held it.
They kept it under wraps as long as they could, and then the cap just came off the bottle.
Absolutely, yeah, because they try to protect these guys as best they can, and you know, it just is what it is. Now the Errol Spence situation, he didn't hit anybody. He was just driving recklessly, you know, driving drunk or whatever he did. You know, I mean, he didn't hit anybody. The only person he injured was himself. Could he have injured others? Oh, well, yeah. But he didn't, you know. And the fact is, when you saw that video, you're like, that guy's dead. You know, I mean, you saw it like, that guy's dead. And, again, I don't remember if he was ejected or what the case. I don't remember it, but it was awful. So that was big news.
He was ejected from the car, yeah. That is correct.
Jesus.
Scary as hell.
It's crazy.
You know, this is why I defer to you, because you actually clarified things and make me understand the situation a lot better now.
JC says, can you guys give us your take on the Deshaun Watson situation? I don't know too much. He's the quarterback for the, I guess, the Texans, or he's maybe former quarterback for the Texans. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about him, but I know that like 14 or 17 women have come out and accused him of sexual assault. Listen, it's real simple. When that many people come out and accuse you, you could say, hey, one or two of them are lying. Okay, you could say, hey, maybe one, well, this girl was lying, this girl's lying. But when you got 17 saying the same thing, yeah, that's a wrap for you, son.
He's like Cuomo. Cuomo is so full of shit.
Complete wrap for him, son. And the fact that he hasn't resigned yet, just it's unbelievable, yeah.
You know, I'm going to say this. Him not resigning is the most selfish thing.
Well, sure.
So selfish, because he's just not only destroying his reputation, all that, now people, his family have to listen to all that shit. His daughter, did he have one daughter or two daughters? You know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's just ruining. He's making his whole family's life miserable, and the people have no faith in him anymore. If you run again for re-election, you're not going to win.
I don't. You know what? I think your career is over. I really do. And
career is over.
You're
done.
Deshaun Watson as well. You know, when you assault that many people, you know, in the same story, because at the end of the day, those counts are going to, you know, he's going to have more than one count, put it that way. And when these counts come down, listen, your career in the NFL should be over. It's a privilege. These type of jobs are a privilege. Your career should be over. You should find something else to do. On both cases, on Cuomo and Deshaun Watson, because it's not acceptable. And the fact that we make it acceptable, and the fact that we say, oh, well, you know, he's got to make a living and blah, 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 this is a privilege, my man.
I think Cuomo signs that book deal that when he writes that book about how he handled COVID, and he tries to make it about him making, turn a situation, a crisis, into a money-making situation for himself.
And I think that's wonderful. Let him write the book, but let the proceeds of that book go to his victims.
There you go.
There it is, you know.
Well, and then that whole nursing home thing, lying about the deaths there, and then he's trying to blame Trump. We have what's called a federalist country where the states make the decision. You know, you can't have it both ways. When you do something good, we didn't listen to Trump. And then when something bad happens, it's because of Trump. No. Take ownership of that state. You made that decision to let those nursing home those elderly people with COVID go into those nursing homes. You made that decision.
Yeah.
And then you went and lied about the deaths.
It's insane.
I mean, I don't know. It's the whole thing. I got to stop.
Emmanuel Moreno says, could you give me an update on the Ohio State basketball situation? I read this. I'm not 100% sure what is the Ohio State basketball situation. I don't know. And then who's your favorite to win the tournament? I tell you what, I saw Gonzaga play today, and they look really, really good. I'm hoping Michigan goes all the way. But, you know, I don't know, man. Gonzaga's going to be tough. Baylor's going to be tough. There's a lot. All the teams are good now, but I would favor Gonzaga. That's just me, though. We had a chance to go to the Michigan game just a couple days ago, I guess, when the one was here. They're all here in Indy. So
you take the whole family with you, Eric?
I did, yeah. Antonio's a big basketball fan, but so is Lisa. And Elena, not so much, but I took everybody. So, yeah, we all
went
there.
You can't leave Elena home when everyone else is going to be there.
I think she wanted to stay home. I think she probably would have rather stayed home.
My dad did that to me a couple of times. I never recovered. Never recovered. That's why I'm so fucked up now. I have isolation issues.
This was an interesting one, too. Terrence Crawford accuses Canelo of ducking fights. On the Akin Barak show, I believe he was on there after they got done dressing him up and everything. He said that Crawford said that Canelo shied away from fighting black fighters. He said that, quote, he has moved away from Jermall Charlo and Demetrius Andrade for a long time. When you look at Canelo's career, it's like he's shunned black fighters. I think black fighters give him more trouble. That's a crazy thing to say.
Crawford hasn't fought black fighters either. neither is Charlo. Neither is Andre.
You know, what is Canelo's record? Was he like 50-1 or something crazy?
These guys are so.
Stop it.
Like, so many people are just hating on Canelo. I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
I don't get it. And it's not like Crawford's in a position to fight Canelo. I mean, he's, you know, he's 20 pounds south. So thank you so much, D-Style. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. He always supports us, man.
He's like my brother, man. I love the guy.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Love him like family.
You know, but as far as Crawford goes, I mean, come on. That's just a silly argument.
I did a video about this, and I'll make it brief. You know, the whole argument about black, you know, people not fighting black fighters now, and then the whole perception of black fighters, just because they're black, they're automatically going to be split fighters. Like every black fighter fights like
right.
every black fighter fights like
yeah.
Yeah, like Pernell Whitaker, right. Roy Jones, Floyd Mayweather. No, because that's not the case. You're not going to sit there and tell me Jermall Charlo is a slicker fighter than Billy Joe Saunders. I'm just not going to accept that.
No. 100%.
I'm not
going
to accept that.
100%.
You know
what? No.
And you can make an argument that Billy Joe Saunders is a tougher fight than Jermall Charlo. You can make that argument. You're going to have to agree with it, but I think Billy Joe Saunders is a tough fight. Billy Joe Saunders is a southpaw. He's a guy that moves a lot. Style-wise, that could be a more difficult fight for Canelo than Jermall Charlo.
You can't hit that guy with a handful of rice, man. He's slick.
You know, Jermall Charlo, both Charlo brothers struggled with Austin Trout, who's another guy who moves very well and is a slick fighter. And, you know, they don't do so well against slick African-American fighters either.
I don't think anybody does well against slick African-American fighters.
I don't
think
anyone wants to fight a slick fighter in general.
Right.
Most fighters would rather fight a guy that comes straight at him and stands there and trades him.
Well,
no one wants to chase a guy around a ring.
No.
Okay? And then another stupid statement, oh, this guy doesn't fight good backing up. No one really fights good backing up when they're being forced to back up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
when you're
again,
leading the dance, it's different than you getting pushed back.
Exactly. So because of the way boxing is, boxing has become so much more diverse and global over the years. Open up the pound-for-pound rankings right now and then go back in the 90s and look at them. Five African-American fighters are on that pound-for-pound list back in 1991. You look at it today, I think there's only two on there right now.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, you know, it's a world sport, guys. You know, and saying that Canelo doesn't fight African-American fighters, that's silly. That's completely silly. He's fighting everybody. He's fighting everybody, man.
And what people need to realize is Google is your friend. So you can fact-check people. So if someone's going to make a statement about someone else, but they're not doing it either.
Right.
And how much credibility do they have, and how much weight does that statement have when it's coming from that person?
Who's Crawford's best win? Postal or Kell Brook?
Honestly, name-wise would probably be Gamboa. That's the biggest name on his record, right?
Yeah.
Name-wise. Postal, I actually thought could beat him. I thought that was a 50-50 fight on paper.
Yeah.
And all these people who have Saturday morning predictions, because you can't go to Vegas and say, yeah, I didn't bet this fight on Saturday, but I woke up this morning and I'm going to pick Terrence Crawford to win. All these people with their Sunday morning predictions didn't make the Saturday night prediction, so their opinions are irrelevant. And all these people are saying, oh, how could anyone have picked Postal in this fight?
Sure.
You weren't saying that Saturday night. You said it Sunday morning. So you can't cash in a Sunday morning bet slip. They don't have them for fights.
I think Postal was probably the biggest name as far as talent went.
Yeah.
Now, I think Brooke may be the biggest name as far as name recognition goes.
Would you say Brooke is a bigger name than – well, yeah, I think you're
so.
Right.
Yeah, I think
you're right. He has a bigger following.
But it's not
you're
like
right.
Gamboa is not a name. I mean, he definitely is. I just think Brooke's more of a better known name.
And is Victor Postal a black, slick, undefeated fighter?
No. No, he's not.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, he's
Is Kell Brook a black, African-American, slick, undefeated fighter? Was Cavaluskas?
Yeah.
Was Amir Khan?
Was
Jeff Horn?
Do you think, because it was such a silly thing to say, do you think it was more of like a promotional type thing, like a self-promotion? Because they're both vying for that number one spot in pound for pound.
Eric,
I mean, it was just an odd – to me, it was just odd. It was an odd
Eric,
thing to say.
You know, when we sit there and we fact check it and we kind of deem it as hypocritical, then all the Crawford fans will come out and say, well, why are you upset? It's not about being upset. It's just the fact that Google is your friend, and if you fact check it, you could see that – he hasn't fought. He himself hasn't fought any slick black African American fighters himself.
Listen, it's not
so
like on his resume. It's a who's who.
So if you're going to make a statement about someone else, you got to make sure that it doesn't apply to you as well. So here's the thing. You know, people don't realize when Canelo won that junior middleweight title. And again, the way he fought Matthew Hatton in 2011, it was a ridiculous fight. No one's going to justify that fight. But 2 years later, right, he fights Austin Trout, okay, for a unification guy.
Yeah.
Slick, black, African-American fighter. I thought the fight was a draw. Most people thought Canelo won that fight.
I thought Canelo got him. Yeah, I thought Canelo won that fight.
It was a very close fight. But after winning that title, a year and a half later, he fights an extremely tough, slick, black, African-American, southpaw fighter who a lot of people thought he would lose to. And he beats that guy.
Beat him soundly.
And he fights the best slick, black, African-American fighter in our era. in the very next fight, which is Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Okay? And then after that, he fights Ruslani Lara. Did he fight Ruslani Lara before Mayweather, or I think
I
he fought
it was after. I thought it was after.
Yeah. Then he goes and fights Ruslani Lara, a slick Cuba Afro fighter. So if this guy is afraid, and then he's gonna fight probably the slickest fighter in the super middleweight division, and Billy Joe Saunders next. So if this guy doesn't want to fight slick fighters, man, then his record. I mean, I must be missing something here.
Raider LA Boxing, I think, put it the best. This is the best I can do here. Austin Trout, James Kirkland, and Danny Jacobs. Danny Jacobs on that list was I don't know that it was a pick'em fight necessarily, but we all thought Jacobs could pull it off.
All three judges scored that fight 115 to 113 for Canelo. I had the fight draw.
It was a very good fight.
Danny Jacobs is a very skilled fighter. He's a legitimate fighter. You cannot say anything negative. Well, you can say, you know, sometimes he coasts and he hasn't looked the greatest. You know, he didn't look the best against Rosado.
No.
But when he fought Canelo,
yeah,
he had momentum behind him. You know, he had that Golovkin fight. He had that Derevchenko fight. He had some solid wins under his belt when he fought Canelo. He was a tough challenge. Again, you can't make these Sunday morning predictions.
Right.
Sunday morning predictions do not count.
Well, what I think is funny is, like I said, this is, you know, we always hear that Terrence Crawford doesn't give a lot of interviews. This is probably why. You know, this is probably why he doesn't give a lot of those interviews, because some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth is just like, really? Like, are you serious?
It just didn't, you know? Like, again, we can fact check people all we want. Just because we're fact checking people, does it mean? And then there's another statement. Well, you know, these guys are fighters. They're not analysts. They're not PR people. Again, look around you. Look at all of the fighters today that are analysts. Fighters are not dumb jocks anymore. Okay, fighters have social media. Fighters are expected, and they have more opportunities, and they have more position. They're in more positions now to talk to people.
Right.
So they got to watch what they say now.
Yeah.
So we're not going to sit there and say, oh, well, they're just fighters. We shouldn't really. No. They should be held accountable with what they say, because look at Roy Jones is a commentator. Tim Bradley is the current commentator. Andre Ward, the commentator. Abner Mars is a commentator. Fighters are not dumb jocks. Sean Porter is a commentator.
Yeah.
All these fighters now, fighters are promoters now. Okay. So they can manage their careers. They're analysts now. It's not back in the Ali days, or even back in the Evander Holyfield days when fighters just fought. No, fighters are multifaceted now. They can do more things. They're not just dumb jocks.
Right.
So someone said that to me. I'm not going to mention their name, but he's just a fighter. No, it's not. The game has changed. The game has changed. It's not the same as it once was. And people need to move on with the times. They need to step up. And acknowledge that the boxing is different now than it was 20 years ago.
Very much, very much so. Andy Ruiz and Chris Areola is official, and it is headed to pay-per-view. The fight will be $49.95. The undercard on this fight you would expect to be really, really good. It's really, really average. Omar Figueroa versus Abel Ramos, Sebastian Fundora versus Jorge Cota, Jesus Ramos versus Javier Molina. Beeb, I'm going to have a hard time paying for this one. And I like boxing, and it's an okay undercard, not crazy good. But Chris Areola on a pay-per-view and Andy Ruiz, I'm just not I'm not feeling it, man. I'm not.
Well,
and I don't care if it's for $29.95. This is $49.95.
No, and here's the thing. Chris Areola is a great person. Anyone that has met Chris Areola, sat and talked with him, interviewed him, he's a very, very great person. Seems like he can still get these decent money fights. He has no problem finding a way to get paid in the sport of boxing.
Yeah.
Full credit for that. Take my hat off to him. But here's a problem that I do have. He is in no position right now to fight at this level anymore.
No.
He has been knocked out brutally time and time again every time he decides to fight at this level. Anyone that put this the people that put this fight together really have no regard for this guy's health.
No. No, they
don't. I actually hate this fight. I hate this fight a lot for a multitude of reasons. And the main reason being Chris Areola is going to get hurt. And how serious he's going to get hurt, I can only imagine. I hope and pray that he doesn't get hurt, but it's a horrible fight because of that. He is not in any condition to continue to be fighting at this level. He's older. He's 40 now, like 39, 40-ish. There's no way he's going to be able to turn back the clock and even give Andy Ruiz a good fight. Forget about it being on pay-per-view. Fight shouldn't even be sanctioned. He cannot fight at this level. And that's why I'm disgusted by this fight. I'm disgusted at this fight. Will I pay for it? Yeah, no, I'll buy it.
You know what? I tell you what, I'm not 100% sure I will. I'll be honest with you, because it's one of those things where the main event doesn't interest me at all. I mean, even if it's on Fox, I mean, obviously I'd watch it on Fox, but that's about it. That undercard, not crazy great either. I mean, Fandora versus Cota, that's an okay fight. Jesus Ramos, Javier Molina, Figueroa versus Ron. I don't know. It's just not great to me. It's just not. It's tough to pay $50 for that, put it that way. Speaking of pay-per-view, Antonio Tarver was actually scheduled to fight former UFC champion Frank Mir on a Triller card. Antonio Tarver has been pulled from that fight. He was not granted the license because of his age. He's 52. Steve Cunningham will now replace Tarver and face Frank Mir. 52, that's up there. And
well,
can they
well,
– I guess they can, but
– here's the thing. I hate to correct you.
No, you're fine.
They what commission – where was the state?
I thought it was in Georgia. I thought it was in Georgia.
Okay, that's the problem. So to the Georgia State Athletic Commission, I read this. They have a rule that if you're over 50 years old, you have to have at least – 10 fights in the last 10 years in order for them to sanction the fight. He only has 5.
Listen, I don't think that's an outlandish rule.
It's not, but I have a question for you. If Antonio Tarver was Mike Tyson, would they have implemented this rule in your opinion?
Okay. They would overlook this rule in a heartbeat. Because Antonio Tarver is not Mike Tyson. He's not going to draw that kind of water.
One time, Evander Holyfield tried to get a New York State boxing license, mm-hmm. and they refused him. You know what they said? He had diminished skills. These commissions do have, statutes in their bylaws. You know, each commission is different. So New York State Athletic Commission can say that your skills have diminished. They have degraded to a point where they don't feel that you should be licensed to fight again, anymore. And they did that to Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield couldn't get a boxing license in New York.
Thank you, D Style. I agree. He says, I mean, he really didn't correct there. You just detailed it now.
Yeah. Thank you, D Style.
Ryan Garcia versus Javier Fortuna has been ordered by the WBC. The winner will become a mandatory for Devin Haney. Why Garcia is not already the mandatory, given the fact that
love
he's
it.
The interim
love
champ,
it. Love it.
is
love
beyond
it.
Me. I don't understand, why is he not already the mandatory, Beeb? Because they want to collect another sanctioning fee beforehand? I mean, what?
You know, I back in the day, shout out to Chris Carlson. Him and I, we interviewed Mauricio Suleiman's father, Jose Suleiman.
Yes, yes.
It was a great interview. And my dream right now would be able to interview Mauricio Suleiman, because I would be asked all these questions you're asking me, I would be asking him, and I would just love to get an interview with him.
I mean, you know, we chased him down. We almost got him. It was one of those ones where we had it, and they couldn't set a time down for it. So they said they wanted me to get an app and put it on my phone. I guess whatever app he uses or whatever. They wanted me to get an app and put it on my phone and say, well, when he calls you, that's when the interview is going to happen. And I said, no, I'm not going to do
that. Well, you know what? You know what? Tell me what the app is. I'll don't know. I just have too many questions that I want to ask him. I'll do it.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Maybe we'll
follow. You'll take the day off.
I'll take the day off from work. All the appointments. I have a dentist appointment. I'll push it back. I will.